perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder, and it is a pleasure to have you joining us, no matter where you're listening from. It could be the busy streets of Boston or out here in the wonderful country in Wisconsin. Welcome to the show. I'm Bill Snyder. I want to remind you how to connect with us. It is patchworkheart.org is our website. Of course, we're on social media, Twitter at PWH Ministry. Feel free to reach out and shoot us a line. But today I'm going to bring you another fantastic interview. Today, Allison Gingrass on the phone with me, or on Skype with me, actually, and we are going to be talking with her. She is a Catholic author, social media evangelist, inspirational speaker, retreat leader, blogger, and podcaster with a unique, practical, and humorous way of sharing a grace-filled life with Christ. So, Allison, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for being here on Young Catholics Respond.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Bill. You know, every time I hear my bio, I think, gosh, I am a Catholic overachiever.
I definitely think so. You know, I think we all do that in our bios, right? It's like, oh my gosh, can't believe it. But but it's awesome.
If you want to feel better about yourself, just write a great bio.
That's right.
And have somebody else read it.
Exactly. Awesome stuff. So you have a journey of faith and reversion, you know, and that really speaks to a lot of young adults out there in the church today. They often find themselves lost, and they wonder, hey, can I ever get back to a grace-filled life with Christ? And so tell us your story of reversion and conversion, or however you want to tell it.
I was born into a Catholic family, and we were definitely the Cape Catholics, you know, the ones that went on Christmas, Easter, Palm Sunday, and Ash Wednesday. And I really think that my mom brought us on Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday because the woman loved a sale. So if there's free stuff, she's showing up. But our faith life wasn't really, it wasn't deep, it wasn't rich. We went to, you know, religious education classes. I never read the Bible. We only prayed in my home. True story. We only prayed in my home during thunderstorms. My mother would line us up. It was in the time where you could actually unplug everything in your home. She'd line us up on the couch after unplugging everything, and we'd pray the rosary until our house got struck by lightning. And then we never prayed again. It's like, well, that doesn't work. And that's kind of how I grew up thinking. Well, you prayed if you were in trouble or you were worried, but then it doesn't always work. And then you just give it up. And so for many years, I just kind of like went through my life trying to find peace and joy and happiness and all those beautiful things that the Lord has to offer us. But I tried to find them on my own, and I didn't do a very good job. Eventually, I met this wonderful man. We actually met at church. Now, here's another way that the Lord just makes me smile. He'll use all means to bring you back to himself. My now husband, Kevin, worked at a church, and he got paid to go to Mass and collect the money. And I, because I wanted to be near this cute guy, would go to Mass to see him. Now, he had the two of us at Mass for all the wrong motives, but he used it to bring us now 30 years later. My husband is just months away from being a deacon.
Oh, wow.
And I'm in full-time Catholic ministry. It just really cracks me up the way the Lord just kind of operates. But we started going to Mass right after we got married because we were miserable, and we're like, well, we've tried everything. We tried working really hard. We've tried buying stuff. Nothing's working. Why don't we try God? But we only kind of went to kind of do our attendance sheet, you know, our get out of hell free card. Like, we get to the pearly gates and we can at least show a perfect attendance. Right. But that wasn't working either. I mean, it was a little bit. We became very involved in the church. We were young. We got married 21 and 23. So at this point, we're about 25 and 27. And we're trying to get back to the church, but we really didn't know where we fit in. We kind of volunteered for everything, but nothing really fit us really well. We did start youth ministry, which was wonderful. I loved working with the youth. It wasn't until a few years into it that a woman invited me to her home for a Bible study, and it was a Catholic friend, and I had laughed out loud and said, oh my gosh, thank you so much, but we're Catholic and we don't read the Bible. She's like, that's what I'm trying to work on. We should be reading the Bible. Why? Because we're Catholic. Do we not read this beautiful book that comes from God, that was transcribed by St. Jerome? Oh, a Catholic. Like, why are we not spending time in his word? And that's when my real reversion happened. After being this kind of robotic Catholic who just kind of checked off boxes and did what I thought I had to do with a complete misunderstanding of how awesome the Catholic faith is, I finally said yes to this Bible study. I started to read more spiritual reading, spend more time in his word, more time in fellowship with other people trying to become closer to Christ. And then I just fell in love with God. I just fell in love with Christ. I fell in love with his word. And it was truly transformative. I started to see that there was so much more to this world and to believing in God than just checking off boxes, that there was hope and there was fellowship and there was joy and a peace that surpasses, as the scripture says, all understanding. And that's really how I kind of went from that lukewarm Catholic to a person truly on fire to share the goodness of God with others.
You know, and that's awesome. I want to ask you, was there any, some of us, who are coming back into the church, and I do it myself every once in a while when I'm feeling kind of low, as I do the Bible roulette game.
I do that.
and so I'm just wondering, was there any particular scripture, any particular book that you were studying that really spoke to your heart, that convicted your heart and said, hey, you know what, this is true? I mean, scripture is living and it constantly does that. But at that time, was there anything that really gave you the impetus, like through scripture or through, you know, a book study that was like, you know what? Yeah, God's real. I need to continue this journey, you know, and it really set your heart on fire?
There was a kind of a domino of things that happened. First of all, that Bible roulette game is the best, because I think in that you really start to see how living the word of God is, how dynamic and alive, and it starts to give you this connection that I can have this conversation with God, even though he's unseen. Because I don't know, I'm sure this has happened to you, Bill, that you pray for something and you open this huge book and you kind of feel like it's randomly and suddenly there's the exact answer that you were looking for. And you're like, whoa, the only time that really didn't work out for me, but it really kind of makes me laugh, is I opened up to this place in the scriptures where they're talking about going potty and outside. And I was like, Lord, are you trying to tell me I'm full of something? And you know, he probably was, because at that point I definitely was. So I was like, all right, well, could be a little careful with this. Pray, make sure you bring the Holy Spirit in. But it also showed me that God has a great sense of humor. Like, he doesn't give us a sense of humor. You know, we're made in his likeness and image. But for me, it was pulling out the concordance of the Bible and looking up terms. For instance, I'm a very anxious person. I worry about everything. Like, if you could gold medal in worrying, I would be an Olympian, a champion Olympian. And I would go to the concordance and look up the words worry, trust, hope. And then I would look up those scriptures. And it was spending time in those and memorizing them that I started to really feel this peace that I hadn't ever felt before, being a worrier my whole life, knowing that God offers me a peace that surpasses understanding, that he, you know, we look in 1 Peter 5:7, one of my favorites, and says, cast all your anxieties upon me, because he cares about you. So upon God. And I thought, well, what is Peter talking about? Why does he say cast his anxieties? And I realized, if you go back into the Gospels, there's a point where Peter's trying to fish. And it's not like he's just recreational fishing. He's in charge of all these men and their livelihood and their families to eat. He owns a business and he's in great anxiety because they can't catch fish. And without catching fish, they can't feed themselves. They can't live without that money. And then Jesus shows up and tells them to cast the nets to the other side. Like, follow what I'm telling you. Follow my lead. And Peter, not really knowing what's going on, says, well, I've tried everything else. Sure, I'll do it your way. And he casts this net. And there's this great, abundant catch. And I think, okay, Lord, I come to cast my worries upon you, but I bring a fishing pole. Unlike Peter, I don't surrender everything and just cast my net, that big giant net. I bring a fishing pole. I cast you, and then I reel it back in. Oh, Lord, you didn't answer quick enough. Oh, I don't want to, you know, bother you with that one, Lord. I'll keep prayers for a bigger one. And he's like, no, I want all of you. you. Cast your worries. Just give me yourself. So for me, it was looking up these scriptures that had to do with worry and trusting and hope, and then seeing him fulfill those in my life and give me the strength and hope that I hadn't had before. That's how the scriptures really started to make God more real for me, because I saw the transformation in my heart. And I've read a lot of self-help books, and none of them helped me like the Word of God did.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You know, and how many times does it say in the Bible, I forget how many, I believe it says 365 times in the Bible, do not be afraid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or some variation of it, right?
Yes, it's like that, like once a day God tells us to get over it, he's
right.
Got it.
Yeah, and you know, so that's, right, and you know, that's so beautiful, and it's so, we have to remember, you know, that the Word of God, as you said, is living. It'll help, you know, cast your anxieties to him, and, you know, what a great way to convert. So then what were you called in to do? I mean, we have just a few minutes before we have to take a mm-hmm. break, but kind of give us that tease. What were you called? You know, what was the conviction to go do?
Well, I brought God this problem that I had, that I thought that the Catholic faith needed more passionate, funny, scripture-loving women at that time. And in the church to bring this message to other women, other people, that our Catholic Church is fun and it's alive and that God is real. So I brought him this problem in adoration, and he said, yes, you. So I was called to write and speak and share the message. And at first I said, no, Lord, I bring you problems, you solve them. And he said, yes, I'm going to solve it with your yes. And so I said it, and then it just, little by little, since 2009, I have just walked through every door that he has opened, continuing to say yes, even though I think he's crazy for using me.
You know, but that's the amazing thing about our God. He uses people that you know, he knows, I think, that we're qualified to do it, but it takes a lot of time to convince ourselves that we're qualified to do it. And, mm-hmm. You know, and that's the reason why we get the quote sometimes out there that says, you know, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the call, mm-hmm. You know, and so we hear that, you know, often, but, you know, so young people out there listening to this, I want to remind you that no matter where you are in your life, and you might be, you know, in high school, you might be in college, you might be questioning how the Holy Spirit's moving in your life, open the Bible, play the Bible game of roulette. Maybe it was given to you on your confirmation day. Maybe it was given to you on your first communion day, but just open up the Bible. Give it a shot. Give God a shot in your life. It certainly worked for you, Allison. It certainly worked for you.
Yeah, it did.
I want to take a short break because we're running out of time here in the first half, but we've got a whole other half to spend with you. So we're going to take that short break, and then when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Allison Gingrass right here on Young Catholics Respond.
Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe and follow the on-screen instructions. That's patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com, then click subscribe.
The words spoken by Our Lady of Guadalupe to Juan Diego nearly 500 years ago are almost too good to be true. Asking that a temple be built at the site of her apparition, she promised that here I will give all my love, my compassion, my help, and my protection to all those who love me, cry to me, seek me, and who have confidence in me. Here I will listen to their weepings and alleviate all their sufferings, necessities, and misfortunes. My name is Alan Napleton, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I have visited her shrine in Mexico City dozens of times, bringing my own petitions, and have found Our Lady to be true to her word. Over the years, I have brought hundreds of pilgrims to this holy place without incidents, and have now founded Viva Guadalupe, a nonprofit that provides safe and inexpensive pilgrimages to Our Lady's shrine. If you would like to take our Blessed Mother up on her promise and learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered, How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
Hi everybody, Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard?
Do you seek to make Scripture a greater part of your daily faith journey? Would you like it readily available on your smartphone or tablet? The Truth and Life Bible app delivers to your mobile device the complete Catholic edition of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible with a concordance entirely free. You will also enjoy free content from Father Robert Barron's Word on Fire, Father Jim McElhone's Word Made Clear, Jeff Caven's The Great Bible Adventure, and the Catholic News Agency. In addition, you can hear the Gospel of Mark dramatically proclaimed by world-renowned actors and actresses like Blair Underwood, Neil McDonough, Kristen Bell, and many more. The full audio dramatization of the New Testament, along with the Ignatius Study Bible, can be purchased within the app. It is available on the App Store, Google Play, Amazon Kindle, and at downloadjesus.com.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder, and I am blessed to be joined by Allison Gingrass. She is a Catholic author, speaker, retreat leader, and blogger and podcaster as well, and does so with a unique and practical, humorous way of sharing a grace-filled life with Christ. In the first half, we talked a lot about her conversion, reversion to the Catholic faith, praying during thunderstorms until the house gets struck by lightning, which is an awesome story, by the way.
The true ones are always the best.
I know, isn't it? I kind of want to shift the focus, make sure I talk about what you're doing in ministry today. We kind of led up to that. But you've got a new book out, right? The Gift of Invitation, 7 Ways That Jesus Invites You to a Life of Grace. And so talk to us a little bit about that book. I mean, it sounds like it ties in perfectly with your journey.
It absolutely does. It was born out of my journey. When I started going to Bible study with this woman from my parish, and about at some points even up to 30 women at a time, we quickly ran out of good Catholic content. Like, this again was over almost 10 years ago. There's so much out there now, but back then there wasn't. And so we started to kind of deviate from a Catholic content into this wonderful Protestant content. But in the end, after 3 years of studying, my 4 best friends left the Catholic Church to become evangelicals. I love that they still stayed connected with Christ and they loved their scriptures. But when I went to prayer, I knew for myself I needed to stay in the Catholic Church. I missed, I tease that I missed my Catholic calisthenics. The only exercise I ever get is in Mass, kneel, stand, sit. Right. So I knew I had to keep up my Catholic calisthenics, which I tease, but truly, when I looked at all of the aspects of both faiths, I couldn't leave the Eucharist. And it took me a while to believe that that was truly Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the bread and the wine. It took me a while to get there, but through prayer and persistence, once I was there, I knew I couldn't leave it. But then I was faced with this problem. I said in the last segment that I brought this problem to Christ, and I said, okay, now you've obviously given me this love for scripture, this love for you, this desire to share you with other people. Well, how are we going to do this? We need more books like the ones that we were finding that were scripture rich. You know, like, you would open up these books and they would have just the verse, and you would have to open up your own Bible and go searching for it so God could speak to you in His Word, because it might be that scripture that the author is suggesting. But more often it was when you kept reading or you decided to go back and read before that scripture that you would find this dialogue with Christ happening. And I really wanted to find those books to share with others in the Catholic world. And for a long time, they didn't exist. And so I continued to pray. And there's wonderful spiritual reading out there, but that book still never existed. So I actually went for a walk one day and I decided to have a discussion with my guardian angel. Now, that probably makes me sound like the most goobery Catholic woman ever. I probably sound insane, but we're given a guardian angel for a reason. And as a child, we used to pray to light and guide, rule and guard, right? But we only think about them protecting us. But our guardian angels have much more. Do much more. And if you want to read more, I really highly recommend Peter Kreef's book and Mike Aguilina's book. Now, these are two scholar academic powerhouses talking about angels and guardian angels. So I feel pretty confident saying that I went for a walk with my guardian angel and it was a smart thing to do because they're there to enlighten us. And as I was walking and praying, I really got this inspiration that I could do these books and it wouldn't just be me rewriting. There's actually three in the initial series. It's The Gift of Invitation and also Invite the Holy Spirit into Your Life and Exploring the Catholic Classics. And there's three more coming out in May. And they follow this format that I think is perfect for anyone who's very new to studying the faith, any age. They are called the Catholic, they call Stay Connected Journals for Catholic Women, but I can tell you my husband and others have read the books and they also work for men. They include an opening and closing prayer. They include reflections. I love to tell funny stories. So my book, The Gift of Invitation, is filled with funny stories. If just only you read it to find out what happens when I go to confession and I get called back in, because not everybody gets called back into the confessional. But I did. And then it includes the scriptures that you look up yourself, a scripture reflection, and then questions for discussion, because I don't believe our faith is meant to be discovered on our own. I really feel like our faith is meant to be discovered, and it's best discovered with other people.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's so true, right? The scripture says where two or three are gathered, I am amongst them. I am with them, right? And so we actually can't do this alone. We weren't made to do this alone. We were not made to be alone in this world. We were meant to interact with people. And so when we find good people of faith and we find great books and great things that help connect us with other people, you know, it really does help. You know, so do you recommend doing like this as can you do this as a group study, Bible study, coffee shops and stuff like that as well? Are you able to do that?
That's exactly actually how they were designed. And if you go to my website, reconciledtoyou.com, or to the publisher, gracewatch.media, you will find that there is a facilitator's guide for how to start and run your own small group. They're actually developed that you could do in an hour and a half, 2 hours tops with your small group. You could do the whole thing. You don't even have to do homework, because I know that, you know, if you're in high school or college, you already have enough homework. Right. You don't even have to go and do more homework. You can get together once a week. And I do recommend meeting once a week with your group, because you need that accountability. You know, it's so easy to fall out of practice of prayer and discussion with God and to the holy things. This world is so filled with so many things trying to take our attention away, that at least once a week, besides going to Mass, I really feel it's important for us to grow in our faith is to spend time with others talking about spiritual things. But it's developed to be like this little small group in a bucket, kind of. And you can, again, opening, closing prayers, this readings can be done together, the stories, you can look up scriptures together. My small group and I are doing it. I laugh, I'm the author and my friends aren't doing the homework. I'm like, really, guys, you can't read my book? Like, we're kind of tired of listening to you. So we've been doing it and proving that it can be done in 2 hours all together, answering the questions, and it's been really fruitful.
Awesome. And, you know, the other thing that you do is, you know, you're out there podcasting, you're out there speaking as well, so people can come, you know, encounter you in person. Talk to us a little bit about the podcast first, because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, people also like to hear our voices, right? And know that, you know, we're kind of in the same boat, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So my podcast is called A Seeking Heart with Allison Jingerson. It's on Breadbox Media. But I was live on radio for 2 years until the station I was on, unfortunately, went under. And I got used to that immediate feedback and having that live audience. So I decided to record my podcast Mondays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook, on my Reconcile to You Facebook page. I do a live feed while I am recording my podcast so people can come, give me questions, we can interact, and then it will be on breadboxmedia.com later for people to download and listen to.
Very cool. Very cool. So do you get a lot of people watching you live?
Some days it depends. Sometimes we can have up to 10, which I know doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're doing it in the middle of the afternoon on a Monday, you really can't expect a whole lot of the 3,000 people that follow my website to come, follow my Facebook page to show up. But we do have a great number of downloads and some discussion later. But I really I talk about faith in your everyday, ordinary life. I'm not very academic. I don't talk very theologically. I talk about what is it mean to be a Catholic person who has to work, who has to go to school, who has to clean their house, who, you know, has all these obligations, but how do we still live our Catholic faith? What does that look like? And I have this thing I call the grace trifecta of prayer, sacrament, and scripture. And a lot of what I speak is how do we live a life kind of on a foundation of prayer, sacrament, and scripture, and still be a person who gets to spend time on Facebook or hang out with their friends or, you know, keep a job.
Right. Really great stuff, really practical stuff that, you know, young adults can totally use. You know, I mean, there's that whole dynamic of young adults that are, you know, graduating college, getting out into the world and trying to figure out, hey, how am I going to balance all of this? Mm-hmm. I know what's important, you know, okay, Mass is important. But yeah, you know, there's more to it than just, you know, attending Mass every Sunday, as we've been talking about. So, you know, continue to push and listen to Allison's podcast, read her books, and then also, you know, you have a great speaking ministry as well. Tell us a little bit about that and how people can get in touch with you to bring you out to their parishes or their prayer groups or whatever, so that people know a little bit more about that.
Then go to reconciletoyou.com for more information on my presentations. But my newest one that I really love is called the Warrior's Retreat, kind of going from a prayer warrior. There I go. Because I feel like there's so much anxiety producing things in our life right now. And it's so hard to trust an unseen God and to not be worried about the future or our health or our friends or our family. And I've been worrying my whole life. So I took, you know, that weakness that I had, and I brought it to the Lord, and then I took the things that He taught me through that prayer, sacrament, and scripture, and I turned it into a presentation. And most of my presentations, I will go to your church for free and just do a free will offering. That's how I get paid. If I have to travel, then I ask for the travel to be covered. But most of the time, because the Lord's given me this message for free, like St. Paul, I try really hard to bring it for free and just do a free will offering, because I feel like there's so much that we need to hear, but not everybody can afford to bring me in. So reconciletoyou.com, you can email me or call me from that website and we can talk more. But I really love this Warrior's Retreat. I feel like it's really helping people gain a sense of peace that's so hard to find in today's world.
Amen. Oh my gosh. Good stuff. Again, for our listeners, Reconciled to You is Allison Gingrass's website. She is an awesome person. Oh my gosh. It's such a pleasure to be able to talk with you today. And you've got a great spirit for the mission field out there. And I know that you are doing wonderful things, Allison. So, you know, thank you so much for spending your precious time with me here today to talk with me about all the different ways, you know, first of all, your journey, but all the different ways that young people really are called to live a life of faith and, you know, continue that life of faith that they were taught when they were kids. So really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Bill, for having the slightly older young adult on your show today.
Yeah, well, it's wonderful. Well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org. Email info@patchworkheart.org. or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.